So, let me see a show of hands. We're finally getting to that point in our relationship. Positive interaction. Are friends more important than family? Yes or no? If you think they are. Is family more important than friends? I saw a whole lot of nod hands. I can appreciate that. As a matter of fact, I don't think either answer is correct. I think each answer depends on each situation that it's directed at. We're going to talk about family now. You ever been aggravated with a family member? Here's a better one. Have you ever had a fight with a family member? Yelling or hitting or screaming or violently arguing. Heated arguments. You know, I'm not sure that anybody is immune to fighting with family, you know? Stress in family is, it's almost like the equal sign is between family and stress. Anyway, it would seem that way. Do you know how bad it is for you? Well, we've talked a little bit about how bad stress is for your body and mind. Let me give you another perspective. John Hopkins. They didn't even have to do a survey. All they had to do was look back in their records. They found an 11% increase in child illness, 36% increase in child fever in homes with elevated stress, to include fights, violence, and job issues. So basically, what we're saying here is when you have work-related stress, you know, the boss gives me too much work, and you don't alleviate that, and you go home with it, your kid gets a fever. What they're basically saying is, when you fight with your friends, that if you don't alleviate that, and you carry that with you, your kid's more susceptible to disease. What that means is, when you get into fights with family members, or when you stress out about money, your kid's going to be in the emergency room more often. That's what that means. Why? Bleeds off. Not only does it affect the way you treat your child because you're stressed, it also affects the child just because he's in the same arena as you. The child is going to look at you, and he's going to absorb your attitude, your behavior, your emotions. Not all of us have children in this room that are small enough to fall into those categories. Okay, what about your wife? What about your husband? Did you know that they are affected by the stress that you have? I watch my wife. When I feel more stress at work, I can see it in her. When we have a relationship in a family unit, we bleed off of each other. We feel each other's pains and sorrows because we're connected that closely. Heard it said all my life. I bet you said it. It was mainly said to me, but I don't know that anybody who's ever said it around me had any clue what they were talking about. They didn't stop and think about what it really meant. But it was absolutely true. Absolutely true. You can worry your mother until she is sick, or your daughter, your aunt, your cousin, your husband. I don't care who it is. your family members, you can make them worry until they are physically ill. I've seen her get that way, mainly because of me. I don't know. I mean, technology is amazing. Somehow they photoshopped this woman into a picture of my mom's house when I was that kid. But isn't that about reality? Every one of you mothers knows what that feeling is, that moment. That moment was three times a day, every day, for your entire child's growing up, right? Stress from the family. Now, what do you think how do you think she is going to treat her husband? How do you think those kids are going to treat their cousins? Now, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying anything about what kind of people they are. But the stress that is going on in that picture will affect every single person that they come into contact with, especially those close to them. WebMD said that 50% of Americans fight with loved ones due to stress. All right, let's analyze that statement for a minute. Half of Americans fight with loved ones because of stress. What do you think that does to the relationship? And you wonder why abuse, violence is so prevalent in today's society? Why it's such a problem? Because we don't deal with stress. And it comes around and it makes us do things we wouldn't normally do that causes more stress. That spring just keeps compressing it tighter and tighter. And there's no release. How do we fix that? How do we fix the problems inside the family? The stress issues? Those five things. Same thing. We are going to use time, our friends and family. We're going to use the future to prioritize things and change our mindset. So to begin with, time. You know, it's an amazing thing because family, you deal with them just like you do friends. It's kind of funny like that. We need to spend our time with our family. Connect with them. Positive interactions. So that when my mother tells me, "You look stupid in that haircut," I already know she's joking. Or I know she's having a terrible day, and that's my cue to go help her. Positive interaction. I don't care what's said, what's done. Turn it into a positive interaction. Psalms 133. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Did you know that you can have a flat tire and you can have a fully inflated tire on your car and still drive the same speed limit down the highway? Yeah. Yeah, it's not that easy to hold it in line, but you can. But oh, it's so much better just to have one finger on the wheel and the car pretty much drives itself. That's mainly due to the alignment and the unity of the tires, how they interact with each other. Doesn't have anything to do with the engine, not even the transmission. It's just the tires touching the ground and how they relate to the other three. How good and how pleasant. Friends. We going to use our friends to help our family and the stress? Got a better idea. Why don't we make our family our friends? We've already talked about dealing with friends. We've already talked about how important they are. How our bodies crave and demand friendship. How everything revolves around that. So make your cousin your friend. Make your dad your friend. Your son, your brother. Make them your friends. Colossians 3. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving. This is the same thing that we talk about with friends, family, friends. What's the difference? Really? So as with friends, we have to consider, you know, just how long these relationships are going to last. You know, you can... I'll bring this up now. Okay. So I've got an Uncle Bob. And he's a drunk and he's a gambler. He's a womanizer. He doesn't bathe. He swears all the time. Nomad. Doesn't like kids. Eats at McDonald's all the time. I try to tell him. I tell him, I say, quit drinking. Stop smoking. Gambling is going to get you into debt. You need to clean because that's disgusting. And every time he goes... You have no right to tell me what to do with my life. You're not in a position to tell me how to fix my life. My life is fine. You don't know what you're talking about. You know who was wrong? Both of you. Because you are in a position to do that. You are. But you were wrong to tell him all that. You know why? Because it didn't work, and there was no way it was going to work. What's the worst thing you can tell an alcoholic? You're an alcoholic. It's the worst thing you can say. Because they automatically know that you're against them. Whether they think they're an alcoholic or not, you put a title on it. You've already put finality on the statement. Worst thing you can say. There's 1,000 other things you can say. They basically mean the same thing. But you do it out of love. So I tell Uncle Bob all of this. And he says, you know what? Forget you. I don't care. I'm tired of this. You can just not count on me on Thanksgiving. How many of you, do not raise your hand, look to yourself. How many of you have written off a family member, or had a family member written off, or been written off by family? It happens a lot. There's family, you know, occasionally they come back, or you come back, but for the most part, it causes a rift in the family that is never, ever bridged. So let me ask you a question. My Uncle Bob, he's a drunk, gambler, womanizer, he stinks, and he eats at McDonald's. So what should I do to prevent the situation from escalating to that creating that chasm between us? I tell you what. Do I agree with him being a drunk? Nope, sure don't. Does he know that? I bet you he does. He's family, so we probably talked about it before. What about bathing? You know, I really liking to bathe more than once a month. I bet he's already heard that from somebody. So here's the thing. Am I going to change him? Well, you know, that's the goal. But if I try to go change him, it ain't going to work. We can all agree. We've seen that. We've done that before. Try to change somebody and it didn't work. So here we go. Uncle Bob. Before we go blowing up at each other, before everything escalates, I want you to know one thing. I love you, and we're family. And all this other stuff, I'd rather not talk about it right now because, well, it's just going to cause stress and we're going to fight. So let's not worry about that right now. What do you think Uncle Bob is going to do? What is his viewpoint of view at that moment? He knows you love him, and you didn't fight with him, and you're not condescending to him. Now, I'm not telling you to approve of what he does. I'm not telling you to ignore what he does. I'm not even telling you to let him think it's okay. What I'm telling you is to not exacerbate the situation. If he already knows, he already knows. You don't need to keep telling him. And if he wants to keep telling you, just tell him, look, I don't want to fight. I love you. You're my Uncle Bob. So, can we just be family? Just that? You know the old saying, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all? Well, I got a better idea. Why don't you say something anyway? Nice. Find it. It's there. You're my family and I love you. You can always say that. Even if, by golly, I'm so mad at him, or you still love him. Let him know. That's not what he's expecting to hear. And that's not going to make the situation explode. It may not fix the situation, but it won't make it explode. So how long will the family last? Well, if it doesn't explode, it's going to last forever. So treat it that way. You know, Mark 10, somebody pretty important once said, while God is joined together, let no man separate. That's you, and that's me. Because family is important. It is. Regardless of the answer to the question earlier, family is important. But what aspect of the family is important? Same thing as in a friendship. You have to ask yourself, whose happiness is more important in this family? Is it mine? Because you know, the majority of us have that ego problem of always thinking of ourselves. I told my daughter yesterday, it's not always about you. When the little girl is doing something, you don't have to pop in and say, oh yeah, but I did this. You know what? Just leave it alone for a little bit. Let her enjoy her happiness for a minute. And then we'll focus on you. You don't have to jump in. It's not always about you. Be happy about that person. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Love is from God. How many times would God tell that guy he's a drunk until that guy said, forget you, God? I have a feeling God would have another way of dealing with it. Because just nagging him and bugging him every time you saw him, kind of our way of dealing with it. You know, God, he forgives, he disciplines, and he loves. But always, he loves. We have to change our mindset to that with our family. Use your family as a cornerstone of your support, just like your friends. Not a crutch. Oh, I'm stressed out because of my family. You want to be stressed out if you're saying that. Because that is up to you whether or not you're stressed out because of your family. You are allowing that to stress you out. Stress comes, stress leaves. If it stays, you're letting it. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The family must be taken care of. The family is the important group of the social structure. Now, the Bible talks about how there's a friend closer than a brother. So, which is more important? Well, I got to tell you that, you know, they're pretty much neck and neck. They are. What was Peter to Jesus? Was he family or friend? What was John? Brother, but was he his friend? Well, yeah. Who was with Jesus his last hours? Who did Jesus come back to? I'm not saying that friends are more important than family. What I'm saying is they're the same thing. They're here, and they're important, and they're worthy of you loving them. And if you can do that, then the stress that they apply will go right off your back, because you know that when they do that, there's a problem, and you can deal with them. You can help them with their problem. Stress is gone. Family stress, friend stress, no, that's your stress. You're allowing it to hang on. Mike is a good friend of mine. Mike will be my friend for both of our lives. Mike's friendship is very important to me. I'm answering the questions as I go down. I feel that I can help Mike when Mike has a problem. And I try. You know what Mike does? He is always trying to fill in the holes, help me with problems, fix my everything. Always. He doesn't think about his happiness in our relationship. He thinks about mine. He makes it easy for me to think about his happiness because it's reciprocal. It's catching. It's contagious. That type of friendship, that closeness. Family. What's the difference? You can hate a family member. You can say you hate a friend. In either case, they're not close to you. If you hate, then they're not close. So they're not family. They're not friends. It's up to you to maintain those relationships. And if you do, then you will benefit from them. So we're going to use time to connect with our family. We're going to make our family our friends, because the relationship is going to last all our life and is very, very important. So change your minds about the way you deal with family. Having a family is not happiness. Happiness is being family to someone else. Being their support system will increase yours. What does God say about family? In Colossians it says, so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy. We've read this 3 or 4 times, because absolutely, you have to love one another. You have to cherish one another and care for one another to help each other. Friend or family, I don't care. Lift each other up. And if you lift them up, it will come back to you. Kingdom is divided against itself, it's going to fall, and so will a house. A family cannot be a family if there is hatred or strife or violence in there. I don't care what the license said or the DNA test. It's not a family. Can't be friends or family unless you have a unity. Okay, so we have discussed stress that is induced by work, by money, by your friends and by your family. We've discussed remedies to the long-term effects of stress by all four. And we've also discussed how friends and family not only stress us out but can be remedied and help us with the stress of the rest of life. I'd like to talk now about another aspect of stress. I'd like to talk now not about you. I'd like to talk about your friends and family. I'd like to talk about all the empty seats in here. I'd like to talk about the empty chairs at Christmas or Thanksgiving. I'd like to talk about the phone calls that aren't made. I'd like to talk about all those things that boil up inside you when you hear people talk about stress, the statistics, the family issues, the friend issues. See, stress is kind of an important thing. It's important in our lives. It motivates us and it allows us to do things because it compresses that spring and gets it ready for us so that we can explode into action. But if we don't deal with it, that spring can make us explode. So what happens when you don't deal with your stress? I didn't say what happens in a stress-free environment because that doesn't exist. And I didn't say what happens when, oh, I stress out, but then I take a nap and then I'm okay. It's not dealing with stress, people. You know what happens? For the majority of Americans who succumb to the pressure that keeps building and piling up on top of them, they give in to substances. Narcotics, alcohol, medical prescriptions. Why? Dopamine. When you feel good, your brain releases dopamine, or actually vice versa. It releases dopamine and that makes you think that you feel good. That's awesome. But it's not kicking in and I'm not feeling good. Hey, Uncle Bob, you got anything that'll make me feel good? Yeah. But not dopamine. What is it that is more addictive than nicotine? More addictive than cigarettes? Well, social media is that friendship thing. Dopamine is more addictive than nicotine. You know what else is more addictive than nicotine? Opiates, alcohol, methamphetamines. You know why? Because they're similar to dopamine. They're not the same. But they produce similar temporary results. Adrenaline causes some other chemical releases that are similar to that, endorphins and whatnot. So there's several things that cause you to feel good, but there's a few, boy, they really do. And the more you feel good, the more you want to feel like that again. So I'm under a lot of stress, and I'm not feeling good at all. Chances are, eventually, I'm going to try some kind of chemical-induced feel-good. Chances are. But it's not dopamine. It's not natural. Dopamine is natural. God put it in our bodies so that we could feel good, and that's awesome. But whatever else we put in, it's going to have side effects. You know what one of those side effects is? It's going to affect our lives negatively, which causes stress. It's going to cost money. It's going to cost time. It's going to cost relationships. It's going to cost brain cells. It's going to cost something. And that's going to cause stress. You already had stress. So I guess that means you need some more of this to fix that problem. And that's not going to stop. A cycle will continue and get worse. You see, there's another really interesting thing about the human brain. When you introduce chemicals to it, it gets used to them. So whatever effects the chemicals had, it's going to take more chemicals next time to get the same result this time. That's why people overdose. They have to have more to get the same effect. And they have to, very literally, have to have that effect. New York Academy of Science says that stress leads to relapse and addiction. New addiction and relapse to the old addiction. And actually can be both. And the University of California found through scientific method that cocaine, methamphetamines, morphine, nicotine all affect the brain similarly to stress. Why? Because they're not natural. The chemical release in the brain that makes you feel good is fake, and the brain knows it. And you have a huge letdown that is not natural afterwards, and you hold it. Not only do you hold on to that desperation and that despair of, oh, it didn't work right, you still want more. So it adds more stress and more pressure to your system and more despair. It's a big letdown is what it is. What happens to stress? It depresses the spring. It puts pressure on the system. And it doesn't let it go. It's a big letdown. You don't have that release. Did you know that 18 million Americans are on Prozac? 18 million.
What's Prozac for?
Prozac is to relax your reality. To relax your focus ability and your concentration so that you don't worry as much. It's much like... it's much like dopamine. It gets rid of the whatever and makes you feel good. The problem with Prozac is that it wears off and there's nothing in its place. See, with dopamine, you have a real-life emotion. Dopamine triggers an emotion that is carried through and connected to a real-life event. All the synthetics and all the narcotics, they create that emotion synthetically, falsely, and then it drops off because there's nothing in reality to connect it to. So you need more of it because nothing in reality will hold on to that feel-good emotion. You need more. Prozac is the same way, except the depressant instead of a stimulant. Methamphetamine, cocaine, there's a bunch of medical medicines that are stimulants that make you feel good. Woohoo! And then you have barbiturates and you have morphines and opiates that cause you to have a depressed system. To numb you and make you think you're feeling good. So it works both ways. Prozac is one of the depressants. Substance dependence. Due to stress. So, what I would like you to do is tell your Uncle Bob that he's a drunk. And then expect that to work. No, sorry, it's not going to work. What did we talk about Uncle Bob? We can tell him that we love him. And we can tell him that we're family and we want to keep him as family. So let's just focus on that. But that doesn't fix his problem. It doesn't bring him closer to God or happiness. Now, like I said earlier, I'm not going to ask you to ignore or accept what he's doing. What I will ask you to do is not add stress to the situation. Uncle Bob, what I would like you to do is know that I love you. Your family, and I want to keep that. And I don't want this big argument, because that's just going to lead to a fallout. It's going to lead to anger and hatred. No, let's talk about football today, all right? Tell you what, do me a favor. I'm not going to say a word. I'd like you to take that and read it sometime. You don't even tell me you read it. Just because I'm family, do me that favor. Just read that. Now, let's talk about some football. Put it in your back pocket and go away. I don't want to talk about it. You don't need to think about it. Just someday, read it. Just do me that favor because we're family. And now let's go talk about football. If you introduce information with absolutely no strings attached to that information, then you're not pressuring them. Look, there's this thing, not even going to talk about it with you, but man, it would really make me happy for you to read it. You don't even have to tell me what you think. Just read it and that will make me happy. Because I love it. That's it. That's all I want to say. Because if we talk about it more, well, it adds stress and I don't want to do that. How was your last trip to Vegas? You made any money? Now you started by giving a little bit of information. This contains everything that we've talked about. Does not contain phone numbers or websites. It doesn't contain self-help guides and references. Simply information. Scripture, statistics, facts. Doesn't even have any funny little pictures in there. Pass them out. I printed these out, and I didn't print them out so you could take them home. I don't want you to take them home. They're not for you. I want you to give them to someone who isn't here, who needs it. Just throw it on the dash in their car. Put it on their coffee table at their house. Set it in their backpack when they head off to school. Look, I put that in there. Just read it. You know, whatever. Just read it sometime. Maybe you got some extra time on the toilet. Read the booklet. Okay, great. If you pressure a system enough, it'll explode. Don't do that. Don't add stress. Add information. Walk away with love. Make sure that their happiness is your priority and they know that. That's all I want you to do. With substance dependence, there is no way to fix the problem for them by themselves. And if you're close to them, chances are you're going to push them deeper into the hole. Because we do that. We push. We push and we push and we push. We love them so much, we push and we push them right off the edge. Don't push them. Give them some information and then just love them. That's it. Because there is something worse than giving in to substance dependence and substance abuse when it comes to stress. There's something beyond that that we cannot fix. There's something that people will fall into, that people will drag themselves into and over the edge with to relieve themselves of stress. The World Health Organization, the leading health association in the world. Well, obviously that's the name. State that one of the leading causes of death, 1.53 million people commit suicide every year. 1.53 million. In the United States, we do pretty good. 45,000 a year. Half a hundred. 1.5 times the population of Alamogordo every year commits suicide in the United States. A quarter of them commit suicide within 5 minutes of making the decision, and 70% of them commit suicide within an hour of making the decision. So, a lot of times it's right now. It's very soon. Once they decide, it's right now. Now that doesn't mean they don't talk about it. But when they make the decision, it's pretty much over. Not a very big window to fix it. But nearly always, they will talk about it or make a sign that it's possible. 90% of suicide survivors never attempt suicide again. I don't know if that's fact or not, because it sure doesn't make sense to me. That last number down there may not make sense to you, but there are people who commit suicide for religious purposes, not stress-related, and that's why it's not 100%. Nearly everyone, besides a religiously motivated act, who commits suicide is getting into a stressful environment. It's why that is 99%. Back to the 90%. I have personal experience with someone who attempted to commit suicide and failed. Well, according to the stats, that person should never have tried it again. But also according to the stats, that should have been a beacon for a problem. That should have been an opportunity, a window for action. The personal experience I had must have been the 10%. Because that person tried again. And you know why that person tried again? Well, I'm absolutely positive that part of the reason is that I didn't take advantage of the opportunity. Along with other people, sure. But we're talking about stress and what you can do about stress. So I want to talk to you about what one person can and cannot do about stress. I had absolutely no possibility of keeping my little brother from killing himself because I didn't work at it when I had the opportunity. Now, like I said, other people, yes. Maybe there was no way to do it. Absolutely viable possibility. But what I do know is that I did not take advantage of the opportunity. So, the stress that he felt caused him to reach a point where he decided to take his own life. And he failed. To be more specific, the firing pin hit the primer and the bullet did not explode. He showed me the bullet. The stress that he was under when that happened did not magically disappear. How do you alleviate stress? Time? Separate yourself? No, he couldn't do that. Future? Your goals? Your stepping stones? They seemed inadequate and unattainable for him at the time. He was submerged not only in stress, but in substance dependence that added to the stress and clouded his ability to fix the problem himself, which meant the priority was not on alleviating the stress or anything else except feeling. And there was no dopamine there. So where was his happiness? Well, it wasn't within him. Well, look at the other side of the coin of what we've been talking about. What is my goal supposed to be? What is my priority supposed to be? And how do I find happiness? By causing others happiness, by guiding others, by helping others, by putting others more important than myself. So, if he was unable to do it, there is only one possibility, and that's for others to make him more important than them. Now, before we go any further, I honestly do not believe that my brother killed himself because I didn't do anything. I think it was a huge combination of a lot of things that stress and substance dependence overrode his abilities. But what I know, as I spoke earlier, is that I did not take advantage of the opportunity that presented itself to me. And that will always be a question mark. You know what that is also related to? Stress. It's a stress that's very difficult to get rid of. So what I ask is that you take information and you use the opportunities that you have for those that you love and care about, who express the, who are showing the signs of extreme stress. Give them the information. It's simple if they do it, and if you apply yourself to. They need a support system. You're it. You're not responsible for the lives of those around you. What you are responsible for is doing the best you can, for working for good, working for God. We don't always succeed because we're humans and we're fallible. And that's okay. God will help us where He wants to. And in His time, His will happen. Tomorrow morning, the lesson will be exactly on that problem with Christians. Tonight, I'd like you to think about those closest to you and what you can do to help them. And I'd like you to take the information that we have and pass it on. You can be a counselor with no license or certification. All you need is your heart open and their happiness as your priority. If you do that, you'd be amazed at how people help you, and you'd be amazed at how people get helped. So, to close, I'd like to go to God a couple of times and see what He says about all of this. You see, it's easy to say that it's someone else's problem. And it's also easy to take things out of context and say that the Bible says that it had to happen. Or even that the Bible said it's all His fault because He knew better. So what I'd like to do is put both of those ideas to rest by reading a passage that you can get both ideas from, and then reading the entire context. The seed cast in the weeds represents the one who hears the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes. They don't have a choice. It's just going to happen. Well, sorry, don't believe that. That's believing in fate. But at the same time, you could also say that well, He knew better. It's His fault. Yeah, but there's more than that in life. There's more than that that God has given us. So let's read it in context to find out how you and I affect each other in this area. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do. The stress strangles them and nothing comes to it. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. I'm not talking about one person is destined or fated to fail, and one is fated or destined to live. And I'm not talking about you knew it, you knew better, so it's your fault you died. That is not what that passage is talking about. The passage is talking about you and me. Do you not you see that right there? It says produce a harvest. What are you producing? Are you not working on the plant? Are you not trying to pull those weeds up? Because if you're not, you're not producing any harvest. You're not working for God. See, this isn't necessarily comparing what you can and cannot do, what you're going to be and not going to be. This is doing a million things at the same time, one of which is telling you what we need to be doing. We need to be working to help that other plant grow through the weeds. And ultimately, friends, we can't decide. We don't decide what happens. But we do have a way of knowing what is best, what is easiest, in the long run, honestly, would you rather be overcome with the guilt and shame and stress of the world and all the pressures that spring being compressed feels like? Or would you rather have somebody say, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know what a yoke is? It goes on a donkey or a cow or oxen, so they can pull a plow. Well, his fits. And his plow isn't very heavy. Did you know you can take a piece of paper? If you press on it with approximately 20 tons per square inch, you can make it explode. Yep. This piece of paper explode with such force it'll take my finger off if it's sitting next to it. When you take a system and compress it, it will only go so far before it will never be the same. And eventually, it'll explode. How do we fix that in others? And how do we fix it in ourselves? Well, we've talked about the five techniques, the five ideas. I'd like to go to WebMD. Let's get the final understanding of how to fix stress. How do we do that? We go to the internet, right? WebMD. What does WebMD say about stress management? Well, right off the bat, they say you got to listen to some music. But then they also say you need to play with a pet. Laugh or cry. Go with a friend. Take a bath, Uncle Bob. Do some creative activities. Pray or go to church. Enjoy nature. Discuss situations with a close friend. Meditate. Make an action plan. Seek counseling. Wow, these guys really got it going on, don't they? They understand this. You know what Philippians says? Don't fret or worry. Oops. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. That's exactly what WebMD said. What, Paul had the internet back then? Somebody really important once said, and which of you can, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If you can't do that little bitty thing, then why are you worried about stuff? You can't even, what's the most important thing in life? Life, oh yeah. But you got no control over it. So why are you worried about the little stuff instead of worrying about the big stuff? And as a matter of fact, the big stuff is going to happen whether you care or not. So worrying doesn't do you any good. Everybody goes, when they have a problem with stress and helping people with anxiety and hard times, they go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalms and we talk about the shepherd leading me through the valley of death and my cup runneth over. I got a better idea. You know what? David was pretty amazing. He was. He was inspired by God. And these are basically God's words that we have. But what I would prefer to do right now is to go right to the horse's mouth. What did Jesus Christ say about stress? He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you, but let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, there is a way to deal with stress. There's a way to actually be at peace. I wish more people understood it. And I wish they would allow it. Because it works. And it causes me stress that people don't accept what I feel as true. I feel it every time I get stressed out. I was telling everybody this is an amazing exercise. I'm building this big presentation. It's the first time I've done this kind of thing. I'd have no idea how many people are going to show up. And it's an amazing exercise doing all this and not being stressed out. And you know how I didn't get stressed out? Pray. That's as simple as it was, as easy as it was. Yeah, people say, no, whatever, that's stupid. Okay, fine. That's okay. I prioritize your relationship with me, and I understand how it affects me. Stress relieved. Folks, come back tomorrow. I'd like to talk about a closer relationship with God and how that affects our stress level. Thank you very much.